Hello, everybody. Cal Banyan here. Cal Banyan's Hypnosis, Etc. And this time we have L. Ron. And let me tell you what, if you're watching this video anywhere except calbanyan.com, you want to go there right away because right below this video, right down there, we have all the links and extra supporting information that goes along with this particular hypnosis training video. Now, let me tell you something. This has been quite an interesting series. I think a lot of people are learning a lot from it. We're going into probably more detail than we usually do. I'm kind of thinking this will be really great material for me to have my graduates review after class. So, and here it is, all available free for you guys. Now, let me tell you about L. Ron. L. Ron is quite a guy. He's one of our hypnotherapists here at the Banyan Hypnosis Center. He's not some kind of just newbie to the profession. He was a hypnotherapist, accomplished before he came to our center. Then he discovered Five Path and went through our training. And now he is a regular co-trainer with me. He comes in and when I train my classes. He'll give some demonstrations. He helps to coach people when they practice. And I'm really glad to have L. Ron, the professional, here at our center. How you doing, L. Ron?
I'm doing good, Cal.
How's the throat?
It's going okay. Thanks for asking.
Because you were kind of having some throat clearing.
Really? Yes, well, that always is what happens to me when I have something very important to say.
Good. Well, maybe you're full of all kinds of important things to say today.
I hope so. The most important thing I have to say is that for those of you that don't know who Cal Banyan is, in my opinion, he's one of the most important contributions to the field of hypnosis. And he's actually still alive. Aren't you alive in there, Cal? Yeah.
You know what? And I'm going to be alive for a long time. I'm going to 150. That's my goal.
150. That means, oh, wow. I'd like to see that. That'll be pretty interesting. I'll be 100 by then myself. So.
I got 96 years to go.
Yeah. Will you still be doing Five Path by then, Cal?
Oh, no. I'll be doing 27 Path or something
That's
like
right.
that. I'll just simplify it down to one path.
Yeah, just do one path. I talked to someone the other day. They go, well, shouldn't we just call it Four Path anyway? You know, we don't do the fifth phase very often. It should be Four Path, more like 3.7 Path. I said, you don't know what you're talking about.
Well, it's always nice to know you have a little bit extra if you need it.
Yeah. What else I wanted to say, though, was that about you, Cal. Not only, you know, the reason that he's so important is because he synthesized and came up with Five Path. It's, as far as I know, it's the only criteria-based systematic approach to hypnotherapy that's out there today. It gives you a roadmap to follow. And, I mean, we're the hypno commandos. We roll up our sleeves and we deal with the hardest cases, and we have success where everything else has failed. Isn't that right, Cal?
That's what it's all about, being a one percenter. We work with the most difficult of the most difficult and have success approaching 100% of the time.
That's right.
Good. So why don't you go ahead and kind of bring everybody up to speed? I think we're like on the fourth video now or something like that.
That's right, and I just watched it, and boy, we are laying it on thick. We're doing faux case studies of, in this case, Van Gogh, the famous painter. What we're doing is we're taking the imaginary Van Gogh as if he was still alive through the five phases, all five phases of Five Path. And up to this point, we've taken him through all the way through the first two phases. Phase one, which is the preparation, testing, and convincing phase, where we take the client, we prepare them, we talk to them, we make sure they have no fear of hypnosis. We do the hypnotic induction. We covertly test them to make sure that they're at the proper level for everything that we do. And then we convince them that they're actually in hypnosis before going into the direct suggestion for the issue that they came in for. Now, in this case, Van Gogh, we had enough time. He was doing so well that we decided to segue directly into phase two during the first session, because Five Path, most importantly, is not a five-session approach. It's a five-phase approach. And sometimes we can do more than one phase in one session, and sometimes one phase will take multiple sessions. So in the first session, we're able to get right into phase two, which is age regression therapy. And that's where we take a client and we follow the presenting emotion that is connected to the issue they have in their life now. We deepen them enough to where they can feel that emotion, and we intensify it and use it as a bridge to follow it back through time to where the problem started, to the origin of where those fears and misconceptions and the cause of the problem started, and it's called the ISC, which stands for the initial sensitizing event. Now, during age regression therapy, the object of the game is to remove those fears and misconceptions. So last episode, we just went over the whole informed child technique, which is basically an adult-child dialogue that's designed to collapse those old fears and misconceptions that they had then with the insight, logic, and wisdom that they have now, and then run them through that same event without any fear, without being negatively affected by it, and then take that change and reinforce it through the events after that that had a similar problem and a similar theme up into where they are now, into future, into an age progression. Okay, so that's what phase two is: age regression, age progression, and then of course we always wrap everything up in all phases of Five Path with the suggestions that they came in for. Now that you've had these this experience, you accept these suggestions more powerfully than ever before. Suggestion, suggestion, and so on. So we left off after last episode, just prepared to move into phase three, which is the forgiveness of others work.
Good. Hey, let me just kind of get in here for a second.
Yo.
And put my 2 cents worth in on what we've done so far. And so, you know, for everybody out there, you know, of course, Five Pathers are going to go crazy about watching these videos, and those who are aspiring to be Five Pathers. But I also want to say that anyone out there that's doing good hypnosis work, you can take the stuff that we're giving you and plug it in as you see it fits into the work you're doing. Because I don't want people who are not Five Pathers to feel like these videos are not useful to them. Now, you guys out there, so what do? We take phase one, we're going to make sure that person's in a proper level of hypnosis to do age regression. Age regression, we typically do affect bridge. We're going to bring up the emotion or the symptom that's associated with the problem, and we're going to follow it back. We're going to uncover these events in their life that reinforced it until we can get to the event that started it, the ISC. We're going to do several tests to confirm that we have the ISC. Once that's done, we do the informed child technique, and what we do is we give the child the information that he or she needs to get through the event without being negatively affected by it. And as a matter of fact, we strive to find what the gift in that was. What was the silver lining to the gray cloud? And then we're going to take them through the SSEs back to now, and what's that going to do? We're going to reinforce the changes that were accomplished in the age regression. Then we expect to see the changes in the future, so we can have them go into their own probable future while they're in hypnosis. Instead of going backwards, we suggest that they move forward to a time where they can realize these changes and put that in, and then we do the segue. After those insights have been gained that were found when we did the informed child technique work, you know, we can say, now that you know such and such, whatever the insights are, see, now you're going to be able to accept these suggestions more powerfully than ever before. And that forces the subconscious mind into a hyper state of suggestibility where the suggestions can last a lifetime. Also, this journey has helped to uncover the people who are associated with both starting the problem and also maintaining the problem. And from the child's perspective, these people, what they did to them is probably unfair. So, you know, if the mother wasn't there to make them feel safe and secure, well, that's not right from the child's perspective. That's not fair. Or other people that may have contributed to it. And so now L. Ron's going to talk about why we, in age regression, we're mainly dealing with feelings of fear or any other feeling that's not based in reality. But Five Pathers always go into this forgiveness of others work. And I'll give some credit where credit's due. The first person I know to ever do this kind of forgiveness work in hypnotherapy in the way that we do it is Jerry Kine. And I remember I was at his house one time, and I says, how did you get the idea to do that? And he said he was working with a client, and he was having some trouble getting the resolution he wanted with age regression alone. And so he asked Thipmetai's client, what is it we have to do here to get you past it? And the report is that she said, well, I suppose I would have to forgive this fellow. And then, I don't know all the details to it, but it's evolved over time into something that looks very much like a form of Fritz Perls chair therapy, and that we're actually going to be putting the offender, the person with whom our client is angry with, and our client face-to-face. And I'm going to go ahead and turn it back over to Elrond, and he can explain why we do that, you know, with every single client. Go ahead, Elrond.
Okay, why we do that with every single client is because we want them to be free of that anger so that they're not still hurting inside, because if they're experiencing pain inside from the past, then they're more likely to try to medicate themselves in some way. It's either going to make them avoid certain situations that might bring up that pain, causing a behavioral problem, or it's going to make them distract by smoking or drinking or having any type of a too much behavior. Okay. Cal, do you want to say a few words about why we chose who we chose with this case, with Van Gogh?
Well, we know we talked a little bit about it before the session, and really, you've got to make a big decision here. Ways that you can begin to work with this is, so we're going to go to this phase three, forgiveness of others, or we abbreviate it FOO, foo. And we're going to have to decide. Now, we've got Van Gogh, and he's come in, he's got a complaint. If his complaint was mainly, I'm doing something too much, like I'm drinking too much, eating too much, working too much, whatever it is, then what we want to do is we want to put the person that's causing him the most pain from the past in that other chair to get forgiven, because it is that anger at that person that's driving the person to do the too much behavior. And I'm going to turn this back over to Elrond in a moment, and he's going to explain a little bit about why painful emotions drive too much behavior. Now, in the other case, the person's not doing a too much behavior, but they're just have some other kind of thing, like lack of motivation, or they have a fear of phobia, that kind of stuff. And in that case, we're going to just pick the person associated with the ISC, the initial sensitizing event, in the age regression, and do the forgiveness with that person. You want to give them a rundown a little bit on why the emotion, such as anger, drives drinking, smoking, working too much, and stuff?
Well, absolutely, because it comes down to the fact that when a person is experiencing anger inside, it's a form of pain. I mean, it hurts. They're hurting inside. And anything that's outside of themselves will bring them some relief, even if it's temporary. Okay, so they're feeling, they get into a situation where it kind of brings up that old feeling of anger that they always get when they're rejected. Okay, it hurts inside. They can even feel it in their body. It's a physiological, you know, it's that heartache. And, they go find a drink. And while they're there drinking that drink, they're thinking, well, gee, that really feels better. And what happens is it creates a compulsion to do that sort of thing, because any time they feel that feeling, their mind starts to wonder what they did last time to get some relief. So it's pretty much focusing on anything that's outside of themselves to take the pain off of what's inside of themselves will drive any type of behavior or a too much behavior, or even avoiding certain situations. I mean, in my opinion, procrastination is like a too much behavior, because you're doing anything but the thing you should be doing.
And, you know, for those that want to know more about this, and I really think that one of the things that the five pathers have that other people out there who are doing even age regression work don't have, and that's the secret language of feelings. And I really encourage all of our viewers and listeners to go to thesecretlanguageoffeelings.com. That's www.thesecretlanguageoffeelings.com. I've got some free training materials there. And then also I have a book there called The Secret Language of Feelings. And you'll really find out what is the inside workings of these issues that people have, and how you can create suggestions and really improve your age regression by understanding this kind of motivation that's inside. Good. What's next there, Elrond?
All right, let me say one last thing about that. Doing age regression work and even forgiveness therapy without the secret language of feelings on your side is like flying blind. So next for us is leading directly into actually doing the session. We do forgiveness of others with Van Gogh, and in this case, as Cal was talking about, there's two different things. If it's a too much behavior, we put the person who hurt him the most, or if it's a symptom or something like that, we put the person who's associated with the cause of the problem. In this case with Van Gogh, it was his mother, because she's associated with the cause of him developing this fear that's then resulted in these different behaviors that's just caused him to remain reclusive. So that's why we choose his mother, because she's the major player in that event. That's why he's got the problems that he's got. So, as Cal was saying, what we do is we set him up in what we call the round room, where we do kind of a chair therapy. We put the client in one chair, and we put the major player in the other chair, his mother. And one of the ways that we do that is we build a round room. And so the lead-in for that goes something like this. After we've ascertained that they can hallucinate actually being there with the depth of hypnosis, it's easy. So lead-in goes, the short version is, I'd like you to imagine that you're in a round room that's domed like an igloo might be inside, with these two simple straight back chairs in the center facing each other just a few feet apart. Go sit in one of those chairs. The chair you select is a speaking chair. The other chair is a listening chair, and whoever we put in that other chair has to listen. Can't get up or speak or do anything unless I give him or her permission to do so. And when that person leaves the room, he or she will forget everything that's happened here today, because after all, that's going to be consistent with reality as the client perceives it. From that point on, we have the client express their feelings of anger toward the person that hurt them or the person who's the cause of the problem. So let me just kind of do a little demonstration here of how we did it with Van Gogh. There it is in his mother, in the other chair, it's his mother. His mother's name is Anna. All right. And the first thing we want to do is to start to build what we call the platter of pain, which is collecting all those different events, starting from the first most important one, where that person hurt them and caused them to have those negative beliefs about themselves or the world, and caused them to have, you know, all that unfairness in the result in their life. So we start off with, I'll count from one to three. On the count of three, the person who's responsible for all these problems or the person who hurts you the most will go into that chair. One, two, three, it's your mother. There she is in that other chair. I'm going to offer you some things to say to her, but don't say them unless they're true. I want you to look over at her and tell her, you hurt me.
Now, Ron, I'm a little bit confused. I'm going to ask you a couple questions.
Yep.
Okay, so with your client here, Van Gogh, is he coming in for a too much behavior or something else?
Well, he has too much behavior as part of his laundry list, okay? But his primary concern is that, on his intake form, he came in for anxiety and depression, and as we did in the age regression, we decided to focus on the fear and the anxiety, okay, because it's making him reclusive.
Okay, so when the person is coming in for a too much behavior, that's when we put the one person hurt them more than anyone else in that chair, right?
That's right.
And that's what you just said that Van Gogh should do.
I said it was a person who's responsible for all the problems that he has today, and coincidentally.
Okay. Okay.
Okay. So, we continue with what we do. Okay. Tell him you hurt me. You hurt me when? Put an ending on it. Okay, and the client will start to talk about different events. Okay. Tell him what that made you think. You made me think. Okay. Tell him how that made you feel then. In this case, it's you hurt me when I was just born. Tell what that made you think. You made me think that nobody loved me. You made me think I was going to die. How'd that make you feel? That made me feel scared. Was that fair? No. How'd that make you feel? Angry. Okay, good. Tell them about another time she made you feel angry. So then we've hooked into that emotion, and we're able to say, you hurt me when, you made me think, you made me feel, and be able to get those different events out of the client, and even project that into the future. Say, tell them how that affected your life. Tell them the consequences of that. Tell them, Tell them what happened to you because of that. Put an ending on this. Because of you, you know, because of you, I've remained a recluse. Because of you, I've never talked to anybody. Because of you, I've been shy my whole life, afraid of relationships. I'm scared of rejection. This and that. You want to add anything to that, Cal? Clean up everything I've done?
Gosh, you sound so serious this time. Last time you were more fun.
It's because I've decided to ditch the Leave It to Beaver voice. That's why.
It's because you looked at the last video and said, gosh, I've got to become more serious, right?
Probably. Maybe I'm just in a serious mood.
Okay.
I'm just trying to not butcher it as much as possible.
Have
Cal,
you got to the cherry on the top of the platter?
Oh, that's the best part. Okay. So we've built the platter. You tell them, okay, good. Tell them what hurt me the most was, put an ending on it. What hurt me the most was that you never loved me, or what hurt me the most was that you love my brother more than me, or whatever it is. And that's like the unforgivable sin. And sometimes they have more than one thing that hurt them the most. You go, good, put another ending on it. What hurt me the most was. And you can get that out of them so that they're expressing that anger. Now, the most important part of this is that we're building them up. We're building the client up into a frenzy. You know, they're connecting with this anger. We go, where's that feeling of anger in your body, in your chest? Good, tell them I can still feel the pain. Good, tell them you did this to me. And you say, focus on that feeling of anger. How'd you like to be free of that feeling? Oh, I'd like it. This is what we're going to do. In a moment, I'm going to touch your shoulder firmly. And as I do, I want you to take all that anger that you're feeling in your chest and pump it up into that shoulder. And we go, feel it. We give them a good whack, or, you know, a little press, depending on what our client is. Of course, we always want to be exactly what our client needs, okay? Feel it. Let that anger come up. She let you down. She made you think you were not lovable. She made you think this and this and that, all the stuff we've just talked about. Feel it. Good. Slide that feeling down from your arm into your shoulder, into your hand, and hold it up to her and make a fist. And you grab their hand, and you bring it up, and you grab it, and you say, good, push down into my hand. Tell her, look how you make me feel inside. They'll say, look how you make me feel inside. Tell them, you made me feel this way. Okay? At this point, you say, I'm going to put a pillow on your lap. You put the pillow on your lap, on their lap. Say, now I'm going to let your hand go. I want you to pump all that anger out of you and tell them everything you've always wanted to say with no consequence. Or, you know, say anything like that. But most importantly, you get them to pump that anger out of them. You let go of the hand. You say, go. And they're pumping that anger. You say, good. Tell them how it affected you. Good. Tell them how you feel. And they're pumping it out. And then you do my favorite. Tell them, you were such a fill in the blank. And then it gives the client a chance. It gives Van Gogh. Okay, I keep on having to, I got to backtrack. Make it about Van Gogh. About Van Gogh. It gave Van Gogh a chance to express his perceptions. Okay? You were such a bad mom. Oh, you were such a cold fish. Okay? And so he's pumping that anger out and he's pumping it out. I go, good. Tell him you let me down. Good. Tell him all I ever wanted from you was. Put an ending on all I got was. And he's just pumping away on that pillow, saying some pretty strong things, really expressing his emotion, saying, good, you can do it. Keep doing it. You're going to feel so good. Keep doing it. So he keeps on pumping that anger out of him, saying all the things he's always wanted to say, all the things that he wasn't allowed to say back then when he was just, you know, one or two or three or four or five or whatever it is. Okay, a whole life's time worth of resentment, pain, all the things he's always blamed, he gets a chance to express those things until Van Gogh finally wears himself out. And he's hitting that pillow and he finally, good, tell him I'm not going to take it anymore. Good, good, tell him. And he's finally slowing down. And at that point, the client has exhausted enough anger to where they'll be able, I mean, Van Gogh has exhausted enough anger to where he'll be able to be suggestible to the insight that we're going to unlock from having Van Gogh hallucinate the response from his mother's perspective. How are we doing on time, Cal?
Well, we're doing good. And I just want to say, now you're really getting into it. And now you're really laying it out there, because I'll tell you, folks who are watching, L. Ron loves this part. Because I'll be out, outside of his office, and I'll hear the clients hitting that pillow, and they're saying, "You're such a," and they use a lot rougher language than Elrond was just saying. You are such a SOB and all this stuff, and he really, really does a great job of helping people empty that platter of pain. I'm going to hold up a little picture of the platter of pain here, and you see these little circles. That stands as for all the little grudges and hurts and stuff like that piled up. And the one on the top is the cherry on the top, and that's the what the client thinks is the unforgivable sin. And you're going to help them get rid of that, and they're going to change their life. This is a healing kind of forgiveness. This is a forgiveness that your clients hadn't even fathomed. But when you make this powerful change inside of them, then they're going to be able to accept positive suggestions and perspectives that's going to change their lives forever. And now Elrond's going to talk about some of the powerful tools we have. Once we've got all that anger out, now if all we did was express that anger, then that would just be a temporary release. But now that it's been released, Elrond's going to talk about the 10 keys to forgiveness. This is a system I came up with that will allow anyone to forgive anyone and change their lives. Go ahead, Elrond.
All right. I got to say, nobody knows how to build the platter of pain like Cal. Thank you for teaching me how to make him feel the pain. So, we're just ready to transition, like I said. And what we do is, we go, good, take your attention back to me, put our hand on their forehead and go, be... and in this case, his mother's name was Anna. Be Anna. And we go after the offender, okay, the player, in this case, Anna. I can't believe what I just heard. You were such a, repeat whatever the client said, such a bad mother, such a cold fish. All he wanted, what they said, right? All he wanted was love. All he wanted was somebody who cared about him, who would make him feel special. But all you gave him was nothing. And now he walks around feeling like nobody cares about him. He can't even leave his apartment because he feels so afraid of rejection. And that's what you did to him, Anna. That's what you did. You're such a bad mom. And so we go after him like this make them aware of what they did. In our own words, sometimes, you know, as strong or maybe stronger than our client just did.
And now, let me say something. You know, there's just no way we're going to be able to squeeze in all 10 keys in this little short episode. If you can go over a couple of them, what I'll do is I'll put a link down below to an article I have on hypnosiscenter.com that lists all 10 keys. Would that be okay with you?
Absolutely.
Okay.
Yeah. I wasn't planning on going over all of them anyway.
Okay, well, so far you've shown how we uncover the cause of the hurtful behavior, which is number one.
That's right. We immediately say, we start to uncover, we go for the first key first, okay? Didn't you grow up in the kind, which is understanding, okay? Because that's what they're lacking most of all. Didn't you grow up in the kind of family where you learned to blank whatever they didn't learn? How to be a good mom, how to be a loving mom, how to be the kind of mom that showed love to her son. Okay? In this case, she says, "No, I was in a, you know, I'm in a very cold climate. My mother never held me when I was little," and yada, yada, yada. Okay? "Oh, wouldn't it have been nice if somebody did show you how to love?" "Yeah, that would have been nice. Would that have made you a better mother?" "Yes, it would have." "Do you wish you could have been a better mom?" "Yes." "Well, you failed, didn't you? How's it make you feel?" "Oh, bad. Are you sorry?" See, that's another key. Okay, understanding. They got to be sorry. If there was a positive intent that they meant all along. "Did you want to be a good mom?" "Yes, I did." "Tell them what kind of mom you wish you could have been." Okay, and then Van Gogh's hallucinating his mother, telling him all the things that he wished she could have been for him. And he's able to actually hear that perspective from everything that he believes at the deepest cellular level his mom would actually say if she was actually in that situation. Okay, most importantly, we say, if you had known back then what you know now, would you have liked to have done things differently? Yes. What do you wish you could have done differently? Don't tell me. Tell your son. And then again, they'll tell him all these things. Okay, did you ever mean to hurt him? You get intent. "No, I never meant to hurt him." "Don't tell me, tell him." And they'll tell him. You want to check. because we don't just take all this and move on. Okay, everything is very, very thorough. The most thorough approach. We have to test this at every stage. We say, good, be Van Gogh. Van Gogh, do you believe her? In this case, he says, yes. Good, be Anna. If he didn't believe her, we'd say, be Anna. He doesn't believe you. Be more convincing. Tell him you're sorry. And, you know, just keep on going back and forth until we get what we need to proceed to the next part. Everything's all built in. Okay, in this case, he does believe her. Say, and we segue right into the forgiveness, which is, if there was a way that you could undo the damage from this moment on and give him back his life, would you be interested in knowing what that was? This is the short version. Okay, yes. Inside of you are the words that your son needs to hear. Okay, you need to ask him to forgive you. Inside of you are the words that he needs to hear so he can forgive you for all of it. Tell him what he needs to hear. Do it. And then once again, Van Gogh's mom, she kept on telling him, oh, I wish I would have been a better mom. I never meant to hurt you. You're the light of my life. So on and so forth. And then once again, we check with Van Gogh. Do you believe her? Yes. Good. It all comes down to forgiveness. The most important criteria of the whole process is right here. We got to tell the client, Van Gogh, what this type of forgiveness is, because it's different than any other type of forgiveness. It's very specific to our process, in my opinion. This is because I've been exposed to other types of hypnotic forgiveness therapies, and they're pathetic because they don't include this criteria. If you don't have this criteria, your forgiveness is not going to work. It's just, it doesn't make any sense, okay? We say forgiveness does not mean, let me tell you what I mean by forgiveness. Forgiveness does not mean that you condone what happened. Doesn't mean you make it okay. It does not mean that you like who hurt you, right? You can love them, but you don't have to like them. Okay, we don't say that, but it doesn't mean you like who hurt you. It does not, the most important part, it does not mean that you forget. Forgetting would be unintelligent. What forgiveness is a change that happens inside of you that frees you from the past. Would you like that? Yes. Do you want to forgive this person and set yourself free? Yes. Good. I'm going to be quiet, and you start talking and keep talking till all the anger from the past is gone. When it's gone, the forgiveness is complete. Begin. And then they'll say it. They'll say everything, and they'll say it and say it and say it and go and go and good. Go. Good. Tell them, I forgive you because. Okay? When they think it's reasonable, they're more likely to forgive. Good. Be mom. Do you believe him? Yes. Good. Be Van Gogh. We got to check. Okay? We got to check. Good. As you know, when we read off the list that we've been writing down. You hurt me when? You made me think. You made me feel. This person did this, this, and that. Your mom, she never loved you. She did this because of her. You've been a recluse because of her. You haven't ever had love in your life. As you look at her now, how do you feel toward her as you look at her now? And if the forgiveness work is complete, they'll say, I feel fine. Or they'll say, I feel empty. Or they'll say, Or they'll say something, you know, a higher level of forgiveness. They'll say, well, I feel sorry for, or I feel gratitude, or whatever it is. Okay, anything but anger. We've got some forgiveness. If they don't, we do the continual back and forth, playing around to make sure that we get it all. You want to add anything to this, Cal?
I think you're doing really great, and we're a little over a half hour now, so why don't you just go ahead and talk about how you're going to segue and wrap it up, and you were thinking we'd get through two phases in this episode.
What was I thinking?
I don't know.
I was just so optimistic. See, last episode I was pessimistic, this episode I'm optimistic. What do you know?
Well, I think next episode will probably be more around the 20-minute mark. So go ahead and wrap up how that session will go, and then we'll get on with it.
There he is. He's experienced the forgiveness. See, and now the person leaves the room, and they forget everything that's happened here today because it wasn't about them. It was about you, and now you come back to yourself. And this is just an example of how the segue goes. And now that you've let go of all that anger, you have this feeling of peace that's just within you. All that anger was being made up of your energy, and all the energy that was being used to push down that anger was made up of your energy, so you get twice as much energy back. That anger was keeping you feeling the way that you're feeling, and now that it's gone, you feel suggestion, suggestion, suggestion. Now that you've come to these terms and let go of that anger, okay, we basically suggest to them that, you know, now you're not hurting inside anymore. So now you feel great. Okay, because you've had this experience, because you've let it all go, you've forgiven. Through this simple act of forgiveness, you feel better and you get better. And we continue to fire in those suggestions for all this, the changes they came in there to make. Wrap it up. And that's it. Count from 1 to 5 as you open your eyes. You know you made a major change in your life. Ba-dum boom.
Is it back to me?
Sure. Or maybe I'll just wrap it up.
Wrap it up.
If you want to know more about how to do this process, I would strongly suggest that you come to one of our trainings, or that you buy some of these products. These products that put out this approach are worth their weight in gold and will make your success rate 10, 20, 100 times more than what it is now because of the thoroughness. Do you want to have good results or do you want to have great results? Check out hypnosis.org to learn more. If you want sessions, check out hypnosiscenter.com. I don't know if you want sessions after hearing about what we do to clients, but if you do, go ahead and check out that website or call me up and I'd love to talk hypnosis. This is L. Ron Ferguson signing off. Thanks for watching.
All right. And thank you, L. Ron. This is Cal Banyan. Please visit the websites, hypnosiscenter.com for my class schedule, our HypnoSpace, where the professional networking site where hypnotists from around the world are sharing ideas, hypnosis.org, where, of course, you know, you can go get your special free directory listing there and just all kinds of stuff. And finally, there was one last thing. Oh, yeah. Visit our fan page on facebook.com/hypnosisETC. Stands for hypnosis, etc. Okay, that's that. Enough blabbering. Cal Banyan, signing out. This recording is the property of Cal Banyan and Cal Banyan's Banyan Publishing Incorporated. All rights reserved. For private use only, may not be duplicated without written permission.